Hello, listeners. Thanks for joining us for Tiny Sparks, Big Flames. Have you ever wondered what it's really like to follow your dreams? If the answer is yes, come along as we get the inside scoop from creatives, innovators, and difference makers who are daring to make their visions a reality. In 3, 2, 1. Welcome, everyone, to Tiny Sparks, Big Flames. I'm your host, Deb Gott. Today, we have the delightfully talented Christine Webb in the studio. Christine is the author of the forthcoming young adult book, The Art of Insanity, published by Peachtree Teen. To date, she's written 6 full book manuscripts, 2 of which are under contract right now. She says the other ones were practice books, which is quite amazing for someone who's 33 years of age. She's also been a full-time teacher for 12 years, almost all of them in middle school, which makes her something akin to a superhero. She loves to travel and write about her ventures on her travel blog, worldwidewebs.home.blog. Welcome to the show, Christine.
Thanks for having me, Deb. I'm so excited to be here, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
I think you're so right. What I'd love to do is start with your journey as a writer, from your earliest aspirations as a young, budding writer to the author you are today. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Okay. Well, that journey has had some ups and downs, but it's been a ride. I would say I started really thinking seriously about writing books when I was in 7th grade. I had a great language arts teacher named Mrs. Bauma. She was awesome. And she said she had a dream that one day one of her students would grow up to be an author and would dedicate a book to her. And I thought to myself, how hard can that be? Okay, if she wants someone to do that, I'll do that. That's easy enough. So I started on that road and I ended up writing my first book that was ever published was The Elsie Files. And I did dedicate that to Mrs. Bauma. That was through a really small publisher, not a traditional track, but I learned a lot through that book. And then I decided that was right after college. I did that book and I decided I wanted to try to make a go of it at traditional publishing. So I wrote another book. And I got an agent for that book who was not able to sell it. And so then she dumped me. And that was very sad because I thought this agent was going to help me with my career. And the book didn't sell and she dumped me. And it was like getting dumped by a boyfriend. It kind of was sad. But then I went to a conference and asked for some advice from Kate Collins, who's a best-selling mystery author. And her advice to me was either you're good enough and haven't hit your lucky break yet, or you're not good enough. And the only way you're going to get better is by writing more. So I found that to be really inspiring to keep trying and keep learning. And then a way that I decided to keep learning was by entering a mentorship competition called Pitch Wars, which is where we submit manuscripts and then the mentors each pick someone to work with and help grow them as a writer. So I got chosen to be a part of that competition, which was fantastic. And I learned from Catherine Fleet, who is an author, and she taught me a lot about writing. And I learned so much working on The Art of Insanity, the book that's coming out this October. And then I kept querying that book and got a bunch more rejections, but finally got picked up by Emily Keyes, who's my current agent. And she was able to sell the book to Peachtree Teen, and now it's coming out in October. So, and they ended up buying a second book from me as well. So it's going pretty well now over, you know, it's been a road, but we're here now. So that's great.
Well, congratulations on your success.
Thank you. Thanks.
So basically what you're saying is you're an overnight success.
No, not so much. It's been years and years, but we're here now.
Yeah. What did they say? It took me 20 years to become an overnight success, right?
Yeah. Yep. Something like that. Yep.
Well, tell us a little bit about The Art of Insanity. What inspired it? And what's the story about?
Well, The Art of Insanity is about a girl named Natalie who has been recently diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And she's an artist. So she is entering this huge art competition and her mental health problems are kind of getting in the way of that. And she decides that it must be the new medications she's on. It must be the therapy she's taking and she's just going to treat herself. And so she decides she's going to muscle through and treat herself. And predictably, that doesn't go very well. So she has to kind of overcome and learn how to deal with these mental health struggles that she has in order to be able to continue with this competition and with these other things going on in her life. So I really wanted it to be a story of resilience and hope. I have been diagnosed with bipolar disorder myself. And when I first got that diagnosis, I went out and read a bunch of stuff about it. And it was really depressing, to be honest. It just looked like mental health struggles are are struggles, and they are, but I couldn't find a story out there where someone said, I struggle with this, but I'm okay. And you can be okay if you struggle with these mental health issues. And especially YA books, I read a lot of them that were very sad. And I think there's definitely a place for those books, but I wanted one that could be funny at times and still have a happy ending and have things go okay for the main character as they learn and grow on this journey. And so that's what kind of inspired me to write this book, was to find what I felt was missing in the market of a book of resilience and hope going through mental health struggles.
Wow. I wonder if you could tell us one little teeny story of Natalie in the book.
Sure. One teeny story is Natalie has a fear that someone has found out her secret. And this person, her name's Ella, asks Natalie to adopt her grandma's dog, who's this ancient, ugly pug. And Natalie thinks Ella's blackmailing her. And so she's like, okay, I'll do anything. I'll adopt your dog. And so she goes and adopts this grandma's pug. And the pug is running around the house, causing all kinds of problems. And she's trying to convince her mom, we have to keep this pug. And I think pugs are really hilarious and fun. And so that provides a lot of comic relief throughout the book, is this pug is always causing problems, but she's fun. She was a fun character to write.
Oh, she sounds like a lot of fun. Well, you know, one of the things that comes to mind is that there's a certain amount of vulnerability for you as a writer to have your own bipolar story be part of the inspiration. Talk a little bit about that vulnerability as an author and how that plays into your writing.
Yeah, it was scary. I was really excited to get the book deal. It was like, I got a book deal. Oh no, people are going to read this. You know, when I first started writing it, it was almost like therapy for me to just write a different character, not me, going through all these things and learning to come to terms with her diagnosis and learning to overcome these challenges and just kind of putting my thoughts and feelings into another character was hugely cathartic for me. But then to realize that other people were going to read it was very scary. But it was good because there are some people in my life that did not know about my diagnosis. And I think this has been a great way to tell them, like, hey, I've been struggling with this thing, but I've turned it into something good. And I'm hopefully going to help other people. And this is, you know, I've done something with it. And I feel like, you know, even telling my grandma, I was terrified to tell my grandma. I don't know why. She's a lovely lady. But she was so excited about my book coming out. And I was like, you have to know something, grandma. It's about bipolar. And she was really accepting and kind and wonderful about it. And so it's opened up some doors for some conversations that I may not have had otherwise. But people have been great about it. And it's been huge to feel so accepted by people in my life when ordinarily I may have never told them, but this has given me that opportunity to open those doors.
Beautiful. That was one wild and crazy risk, right?
Yeah.
What's another wild and crazy risk you've taken as a writer that paid off? And what did you learn about yourself in that process?
I would say one crazy risk I took as a writer was approaching Emily Keyes after she rejected me, because she actually rejected me at first, and she's my current agent. So she was my dream agent. I really wanted to work with her. She had given me an R&R, which is a revise and resubmit, where we work on revising the book together, and then I resubmit it for consideration, and she ended up ultimately rejecting it, and I was just crushed because this was my dream agent, and then she rejected my book, and I was really sad. And then after I actually ended up getting an offer from a different agent. And so I thought, I'm just going to reach back to Emily and say, are you sure you don't want to work with me? Because I'm going to work with this other agent and I really would rather work with you. And it was funny because I ended up talking to her on the phone and she said, when you told me another agent offered, I got really mad. Like, who's offering on my authors? And then I realized I rejected her. That's my fault. So then she ended up picking me up after all this craziness, because I did tell her I had another book too. And I sent her the first part of Shooting for Stars, the second book that's coming out. And she liked that. So ultimately, I did end up getting the offer from Emily, and I've been working with her ever since. And so it was kind of a risk to reach back and say, hey, I know you rejected me, but would you give me another shot? And I think something I learned about myself from there is just that, you know, persistence and taking these risks sometimes pays off. Sometimes you end up looking dumb, but sometimes it works. So you might as well go for it.
What a fantastic story. I love that.
Yeah, thanks.
Tell me a little bit about how you celebrate successes and how you honor your mistakes.
Okay. How I celebrate success is a little strange, but I've been doing it for years. So I'm just going to tell you, because this is how I celebrate successes. Whenever I win a writing competition or get a book deal, or even a small success, like an agent requests my manuscript, you know, something that feels like a success. My beagle is named Elvis, and Elvis and I dance in the kitchen together. He gets up on his hind legs and we dance in the kitchen to the song All I Do Is Win by DJ Khaled, which is really funny because I actually get rejected way more than I win. So the song doesn't even make sense, but it's just fun to pretend like all I do is win for a second, because I've had that one little win. And, you know, Elvis, he stands on his hind legs and dances with me for the entirety of that song. And that's how I celebrate when I have some sort of success with my writing career.
Beautiful. So how do you honor these rejections?
Yeah, I don't do as great of a job at that. I mostly try to let them brush off. I learn from them where I can. If I get a rejection where someone actually gave me feedback on my work and said, this is what you need to work on, I will definitely take that and run with it and try to get better because of it. But so often in this industry, rejections are just flat, like not for me, didn't connect with the voice, something like that. And so with those, I just put them in a folder in my email. I keep them because just for kicks, I was like, let's see how many times I get rejected before I get picked up. It was over 70. So I got rejected a lot of times. And so every rejection was just kind of adding to my pile of, well, this will be a good story one day of how many times I was rejected before I got accepted. So yeah, it was over 70. I know that because I kept track.
You know, that sounds like some great wallpaper for an office.
Yes, all the rejections. Yes.
Yeah, where it you really could just draw smiley faces on them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
I love that. What do you think is your superpower? And what is your kryptonite?
My superpower would probably be focus, especially when I'm drafting. I can get really focused on what I'm working on and work for hours and hours. When I was working on Art of Insanity, I would have days that I would have to set the alarm to remind myself to eat, because otherwise I would just keep going straight through lunch and just not remember because I'm so focused on what I'm doing, which is good because I like drafting in long blocks of time like that. I kind of wish I could just pick up 10 minutes here and there because that's more conducive to everyday life. But especially on Saturdays when I can just take a day and write, that's amazing. I love that. And I would say my kryptonite is probably getting negative feedback from readers. When it's from an agent or someone saying, here's how to make it better, or it's just not for me, I've gotten those rejections enough times that it doesn't really bother me too much anymore. But when a reader doesn't like what I wrote and says, you know, this was junk, that still hurts my feelings. And hopefully I'll get to a point as a writer where that no longer bothers me, or I'll just stop reading reviews. But I think that still gets under my skin a little bit. And I feel like, oh, I'm so sorry, I should have done something different for you. But you know, I'm not a $100 bill. Not everyone's going to like me.
Oh,
so
I like
that's
that.
Okay.
You're doing some pretty amazing things to inspire other young people to become writers. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yes. In my work as a teacher, I've done things with teenagers to become writers. I've had several students work on writing a novel kind of as an independent study with me as their teacher. So they have their required score work, and then this would be above and beyond. And then I've had several of them go on to self-publish their novels through Amazon. So they're available online and stuff like that, which is great. And it's such a huge accomplishment for a middle schooler to say, I've written a 150-page novel. You know, they've told me when they go to high school, a 10-page paper feels like nothing when they've written this whole big novel with me. So I've done that with some of my students. And then also I was in a mentorship competition, Pitch Wars, as the mentee. Now I'm in a mentorship competition as the mentor. Write Mentor is the competition that I've been involved in the past few years, helping other writers learn their craft and then go on to hopefully get agented. And then also I'm working on a certification to become a book coach through Author Accelerator, which is a company that helps other authors hone their craft and get better at writing. And so I'm working on becoming an official coach with them, which would be great.
Oh, that sounds like an exciting new adventure.
It is. It is.
Oh, fantastic. So here's a fun question. If you could hitch a ride into space with any living author, who would that be? Why that person? And what would you want to talk about?
Hitch a ride to space. I'm trying to think of what author would want to go to space with me. Well, too bad. I'm going with John Green, because John Green is an author that I really look up to. And as I was working on my own YA work, I would study his work and look at all the things that he's doing well and then try to figure out how to do that in my own work. Like, how does he do dialogue? How does he set scenes? How does he make these characters? And I just have a huge amount of respect for John Green. I also enjoy his podcast. So I feel like I could listen to him talk for an entire way to space. And I hope we would talk about writing and YA. And one of his books, the main character had OCD. My main character has bipolar disorder. So we could talk about mental health representation in YA as well. And I think that's probably what we would talk about on our way to space.
I would love to hitch a ride with you.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I'll just be like a little fly on the wall. I don't know what happens to flies in orbit, but I would just want to float around with you for sure. Mm-hmm. And just eavesdrop on the conversation.
It would be pretty fun.
For sure. Let me ask you this. What do you dream of accomplishing in the next 5 years?
In the next 5 years, well, I'm hopefully going to achieve my book coaching certification this year. So then I would hope to get some clients and be working on my book coaching business and have that going pretty well. Also, I would love to break into the middle grade market. Right now I'm writing young adult, which I love. I do love young adult, but I also have a middle grade book that's on submission right now, not under contract, but that publishers are looking at. And I'm wondering if middle grade would be a good fit for me. I really enjoy writing it, but I would love to be writing in YA and middle grade in 5 years. I think that would be really fun.
Now, what's the difference between YA and middle grade?
Yeah, great question. So YA is more high school age, so older teenagers. And then middle grade is more like 8 to 12 year olds, maybe a little older, maybe 8 to 14. But think like middle schoolers would be more middle grade, whereas you're looking at more high schoolers for YA.
Beautiful. Let me ask you another question about this idea of your focus, because you said you can be so focused that you have to set an alarm sometimes to remind yourself to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You're a full-time middle school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You're an avid writer.
Mm-hmm.
You have a family. How do you create balance in your life?
I can't say I do it very well, to be honest. I'm probably the wrong person to ask about it, but I'm the one on the podcast, so here we go. I would say part of it is I do have my family that I love very much, but I don't have kids. So I know that that frees up a lot of time, where my friends who have small children probably would not be able to have the time to do these things. But I use my weekends very well. Saturdays, like as I said, I love taking a Saturday and being able to write. I also have my writing best friend, Casey Vanderkar, who's also an author. She and I go on writing retreats a few times a year, and we both just get a ton done when we go on these retreats, where when we can carve out a few days and be able to just sit and write and really focus on our work, we get a lot done. So that's kind of when I get my writing done, is weekends on these writing retreats, things like that. Also, it helps that my husband is super supportive. So when I tell him I need the time, you know, I'm making you a cup of tea. Where do you want? You know, he's very supportive of the whole journey. So that helps a lot too. And yeah, I fit it all in somewhere. I'm not exactly sure how that all happened, but here we are. So it did.
So your husband is right there beside you, being super supportive of your work. What do you and he love to do for fun, for play, that actually kind of feeds your soul as well?
Yes. Something we really like to do is go bicycling together. There's a trail by our house where we like to go biking, and we've also done a few different bike trips. We did one in Ireland and one in Scotland where we would bike all day and then spend the night in a little town and then bike all day, spend the night in the next little town. And it was just beautiful and wonderful and so much fun. And exercise is really inspiring to me. It helps me think better. And it's obviously just good for you anyway. So he and I both really enjoy doing that.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I've got two more questions.
Okay.
So the first one is, what advice would you have for someone who would love to pursue a passion or a purpose or a dream like becoming a published author? What advice could you offer them, or what success secrets could you share?
My best advice for them would be to seek out people who are better than you, learn from them, and then reach back down the ladder to help bring other people up too. I think it's really important, especially writing can be so isolating because you're alone. You have to reach out and find people who are better than you and say, how did you do that? Please help me. Please teach me. And then not just always be taking it, but realize there's people, you know, that also want your help as you start climbing that ladder and accomplishing different things. So being sure to pay it forward and helping other people as well too, and just kind of being a cog in this machine called publishing, learning from others and then passing your knowledge back down, I think would be my best advice.
I love that advice. One more. What's next for you?
What's next for me? Next for me is working on my book coaching business. I'm building that. I also have Shooting for Stars is my next YA book that will be coming out. That one is about a girl who wants to be the first teenager to study abroad in space. at the International Space Station and about her journey on that road. So I'm going to be working on edits for that book coming out, and that's coming out in summer of 24. So it's a little while till that book comes out, but that's going to be taking up a lot of my time. As I mentioned, I have that middle grade book on submission. That one's about a dragon. So let's hope that sells soon. So I've got a few things coming up in my writing world that will hopefully go well, but we'll see. It's a lot of ups and downs, and we'll just take each thing as it comes.
Beautiful. Christine, thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the show and spreading the word about us to all your family and friends. Christine, how can people get to know you better?
If people want to know me better, they could go to my website at www.christinewebauthor.com. Or if they wanted to know informal me, they can check out my travel blog at worldwidewebs.home.blog. And if they wanted to contact me, all that information's on my website, so they could get a hold of me that way.
Can they follow you on social media?
Oh, yes, yes. I forgot about my Twitter. They could follow me on Twitter at cwebwrites.
Fantastic. Listeners, check out Christine's website and her blog and her Twitter feed, and look for her book this fall. Both she and her writing are truly delightful. That's it for this episode of Tiny Sparks, Big Flames. If you enjoyed the conversation, definitely check out our webpage at tinysparksbigflames.com. You can find more great information about today's guest, see what they're up to, and even follow their work. Until next time, dream big, and thanks for listening.